You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
As you might have heard, there's been a bit of disruptions with the Auckland bus system lately. So this really stems back to ongoing industrial action between NZ Bus and the unions representing drivers. That's First Union and the Tramways Union, which I believe are two separate unions, but I think they work quite closely together when it comes to representing drivers. So they'd been pushing for a new contract, higher wages, shorter shifts, not these like 14, 12-hour shifts, however long they are. They'd done a couple of full strikes where they fully withdrawn their labour, and then they shifted to this sort of partial strike thing where they were not turning on the hop machine or accepting fares. So riders were effectively getting free fares. This is something that has been tried around the world a few times, famously in Japan quite recently. And it did get quite a lot of good press, like, look at this amazing thing the Japanese bus drivers union is doing. And it is quite sort of innovative, but I do just wonder, as a sort of side note, if it is a bit hard for, say, workers in other industries. Like, if you drive a truck, you can't not take fares. You can either really drive a truck or you can go on strike. You don't have those options. And I just wonder if, well, I worry a bit, sort of bad for, yeah, workers not in those specific sort of industries. But regardless, they pushed ahead with this partial strike, which NZ Bus, the operator, then came out and said, well, if you're doing this, we're not making any money. We're not going to pay you. If you do this, we'll suspend you without pay, which, as far as I understand, is not a fully sort of honest argument. As I understand it, the fares actually go to Auckland Transport, which then pays NZ Bus a flat rate. So that's sort of what they're doing there is already a bit, you know, a bit lying. Then they moved to, yeah, do this lockout, which, yeah, suspending drivers without pay for taking this partial strike action, which, again, I think under the Labour government's new sort of workplace regulations is probably illegal, but it sort of comes down to interpretation of what is, like, taking reasonable steps to resolve an issue. So that will probably be decided in court, and it might even set a precedent for this country. But getting on to the media coverage of the lockout, one thing that was very noticeable was that most media outlets did not refer to it as lockout. They called it a strike, which you could argue is very technically not entirely wrong in that it was a partial strike, which was then punished by a lockout. But I would say because it was sort of escalated into a lockout, you should call it a lockout. And you can ask, you know, well, why did the media do this? And it could well be that, you know, there is a sort of anti-Labour bias within most sort of media circles, apart from BFM. Am I right, Laura? We love them here. So that could be it. Or it could just be that a lot of media outlets don't really care that much about sort of Labour issues and really just don't have anyone on staff that really knows the intricacies of, like, what's a strike, what's a lockout, what's a partial strike and all this. So, I mean, you know, who knows really why they were doing it. And you just saw the other way that they're reporting on it, though it does seem a bit sort of anti-worker, because there was one story when a lot of the union bus drivers were blocking the buses on Dominion Road, quite near where I live, but I won't be getting any more specific than that. They were sort of trying to get on board, and there was a scuffle. According to an eyewitness, the replacement non-union driver sort of punched one of the union drivers trying to get on board, but it was still reported as like a scuffle as striking bus drivers try to block the bus. So still sort of framing it in quite a way that makes the, you know, the drivers look like a bunch of sort of rowdy militants, which some might be, but not in a violent sense, at least. They do their protests, but they don't go around trying to harm people. And I just do think that is also quite disturbing that not only you did see this violence, but then it was sort of put, you know, spun in a way that then goes against the union, where I'm sure if one of the union drivers had tried to punch one of the non-union drivers, would have that have been a big thing. We'd probably still be talking about it today. But instead, we've seen something of a resolution of this bus issue. But again, the way it's been reported has been quite sort of basic reporting, because they say, like, striking buses have agreed to sort of have a resolution. When there's no real resolution, all that's happened is the council, Auckland Transport specifically, has sort of said to the NZ Bus, look, you got to sort this out, get you in a room. And because there's these sort of negotiations have resumed with the support of Auckland Transport, the bus drivers have agreed to go back to work in good faith. Now, it seems like, according to Gary from the head of the Tramways Union, Gary Froggatt, I believe, he said that in this meeting, NZ Bus sent a representative, but they didn't have the authority to negotiate. So it was all sort of a waste of time. So for anyone out there who's thinking, oh, well, the buses are sorted, it's going to be easy from now till Christmas, I wouldn't have that confidence, just because it's who knows how this is going to go on. But with the current way the media reports it, I can see why a lot of people would not be getting the full picture unless you really sort of dig deep and do all this cross-referencing.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.